eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. If you missed earlier the show, Ben Davis was on with a fascinating scenario in which Rhys Hoskins would leave the Phillies. They would re-sign Gene Segura for third base, and Alec Bohm would move to first. We're going down to the San Diego baseball meetings at 9:30 with our Todd Zielecki to find out what's next. Because that Trey Turner thing was just the beginning of what could be a very active offseason. Yep. We got that coming up, but on the line with us right now is a man who puts all of it into perspective like no other. He is a brilliant columnist at TheEnquirer.com. Works right here at WIP, our friend Mike Sielski. Hi, Mike.
Morning, Angelo.
So, Mike, I read your column where the game that the Eagles played against the Titans shows they are a potential Super Bowl team. And then I found out from ESPN that they are not. So I'm trying to get, I'm trying to find out who to believe here. What was so impressive to you about the game against Tennessee?
The manner in which they won it offensively. The fact that they had run roughshod over the Packers the week before for 363 rushing yards. And then come back and have Jalen Hurts throw for 380 and three touchdowns against a team that's regarded as one of the toughest in the NFL. I know it's been said before, but it bears repeating. It looks like the Eagles can beat you any way you want to be beaten. And as kind of the cherry on top, they tied up the two loose ends that had had everybody worried for the, for most of the season. Their run defense and their special teams. They were much better in both of those regards, too. And actually, if you look at their numbers over the last few weeks, they actually have been better against the run in a lot of respects. So to me, it took them from being a team where you would say, boy, the Super Bowl is a possibility, to, okay, now the Super Bowl is a reasonable expectation.
Mike, do you think that the team as a whole has taken on the very modulated personality of Jalen Hurts? They seem very calm. They seem to be handling these challenges easily.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think there's something to the fact that they still have plenty of terrific leaders in that locker room who aren't Jalen Hurts, guys who have been through it and come out the other side, guys like Jason Kelce and Brandon Graham and some of the other guys in that locker room that we all know. But I think Hurts is a big part of it. You know, I was saying this to somebody yesterday, Angelo. There wasn't a play in that game Sunday where you kind of closed your eyes at what Hurts did and thought, oh, no, that's a bad play. Yeah. I think we got accustomed to seeing that from certainly Carson Wentz and other Eagles quarterbacks over the years. And Hurts, to kind of put it simply, Hurts doesn't do dumb stuff. And I think that goes a long way to explaining why this team is 11-1.
That is so true. What is it like to write about him, Mike? I mean, he seems very he's got a wall up. It's really hard to get through. What is it like to try to get behind that?
Well, I think that there are certain topics where he lets the wall come down. My colleague Jeff McClain did a terrific piece about Jalen earlier this year talking about the Eagles' legacy with black quarterbacks, and Jalen was up on that topic and knew it well and was happy to talk in depth about Michael Vick and Randall Cunningham and Donovan McNabb. And I also think that Jalen is like a lot of athletes, where if you show him that you've put the work in to ask what hopefully is a smart question, he will give you a detailed, smart answer. You see guys act like that a lot, where you have to show them that you've put in the work. You can't just walk up to them and say, hey, how's it feel to be 11-1? You've got to show that you're watching the games and understanding what's happening on the field.
Damn, that was my first question, if I ever get him on. I'm really curious, though. What is Sirianni like to cover? Because I'm noticing now, Mike, the answers are very elaborate. Is he evolving? Is he changing? What's going on with covering the coach?
Well, they're long, and they can be elaborate at times, but I also think that he's tending a little more towards being a little more protective and a little more guarded in some ways. You know, he cuts off questions about injuries very quickly now without expanding those answers. Mm. I think he's just a naturally talkative person. He's a people person, I think, at heart. I think you see that, quite honestly, when he brings his kids or his son up to the podium or the dais with him after a game, as he did after Sunday's game. But, you know, that you can be talkative and not say a whole lot. And sometimes Nick can do that. Sometimes he's very revealing. Sometimes he says a lot and you read the transcript or you listen to the tape and you're like, yeah, there's not really anything there I can use because it's not all that insightful.
Interesting. All right. Am I falling into a trap here with this ESPN thing, Mike, where they reported yesterday that a team of analytics guys are saying that the Cowboys have a significantly better chance to go to the Super Bowl than the Eagles, despite the records. Is that a way, is there any analytics that would actually indicate that, or are they just trying to stir stuff up?
No, I don't think they're trying to stir stuff up. I'm sure there are analytics that show that. And actually, you know, that game on Christmas Eve at AT&T Stadium is still going to be pretty important, because if the Cowboys keep winning and the Eagles lose a game or two, let me put it this way, Angelo, the Cowboys seem to hold most of the tiebreakers against the Eagles. So if the Eagles come out of that game on Christmas Eve with the same record as the Cowboys are going to be ahead of them in the division. Now, you know, they're not there yet, but it's possible. And so, look, the NFL has become a league over the last several years where the best team in the conference doesn't necessarily get to the Super Bowl. Look, we saw it last year, right? The Bengals and the Rams got hot at the right time, and they made it to the Super Bowl. The Eagles lost their starting quarterback in 2017. They were a different team from the one that had gotten off to that great start and been the number one seed in the conference, and they got to the Super Bowl. So there is a measure of unpredictability to all of this that I think it's reasonable to say, hey, the Cowboys are a factor. Are they a clear-cut favorite over the Eagles? Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. All right, let me get to the Phillies for a couple of days. When I hear 11 years and $300 million for a baseball player, my head spins. Have you been able to tune all that out now because there's so many of these contracts like that?
Yeah, look, the Phillies aren't really paying for 11 years of Trey Turner here. They're paying for 5 or 6 years of Trey Turner here. And the reason the contract is 11 years in length is because that cuts down the average annual value of it. So you're not paying him $40 million over 6 years. You're paying him, you know, $30 million over 11. And that allows you more flexibility in the here and now to try to improve the team and build it into one that can win a World Series. So I don't look at this and say, oh, my God, Trey Turner, 11 years, $300 million, that's insane. That's the market value. You know, the reporting has borne that out, that the San Diego Padres, I believe, made a better financial offer to Trey Turner. And all the Phillies had to do was get close because he was so interested in coming here.
Isn't that interesting? And that leads to my last question. Listen closely, because it's a trick question. Who do you think is a better GM in our city, Howie Roseman or Bryce Harper?
That's a really good question. You know, Harper's presence is helping the Phillies out a lot. It really is. And it's kind of cool to see Philadelphia in baseball becoming a destination place. And I think Harper and the changes that the Phillies have made over the last few years have allowed Philadelphia to become that kind of place.
Isn't that incredible that his name has brought other people here? It's incredible. Mike, great stuff as always, Mike. Don't miss reading him. He's great every day. Mike Sielski.
Angela, can I, before you cut me off, just one quick plug here.
Yep. Yes.
Wednesday night at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap, in Bridgeport, 6:30 to 8:30. Glenn Macnow is hosting the Philadelphia Sports Holiday Gift Extravaganza. Ray Dittinger is going to be there selling his books. I'm going to be there selling mine. Zach Berman from The Athletic, Charlie Manuel will be there. It's going to be an awesome event. If people could make it, that would be terrific.
Say it again, exactly where it is there, Mike.
It is at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap, Bridgeport, 3 DeKalb Street, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
Sounds like a terrific event. Mike, thank you as always. And Mike's got a great book out on Kobe Bryant. Ray Dittinger's, oh man, he's got several great books, but the book he wrote called A Finished Business is phenomenal.
I saw the piece that NFL Films did on him.
Yep.
NFL Films does a great thing, and they had a great